Chapter 2. Rosmarin. The following morning, I awoke to the sound of someone knocking on my door. A cold light illuminated the room, telling me it was only barely past dawn, and I wondered who could come calling at this early hour.
"Who is it?"
Chris groaned. His head lay at the foot of the bed, and he had our red silk sheets tangled up around his naked body. I laughed at the sight, then wandered to my wardrobe and grabbed a robe.
"It's Adriana, your highnesses."
The gargoyle's muffled voice came through the door.
"An emissary from Nahuatl is here to see you, my queen."
My ears perked up at the mention of Nahuatl. First, curiosity, and then a wave of anger passed through me. What could that werewolf, Sophia, possibly want with me? I opened the door and smiled at my gargoyle commander. "We will be down in just a minute, Adriana. Thank you." She tried to peer around me into the room, and I gave her a pointed look. "Can you please wake the other council members?"
"Yes, my queen,"
she replied, giving me a smirk and a bow before heading off on her errand. I got dressed, and after waking Christoph up fully, we collected the other council members, all eager to hear about news coming from the Southern Kingdom. Sahar's drink seemed to have no bad side effects, and, in fact, considering the night we all had, it seemed the drink filtering out of our systems gave us a much-needed boost of energy. As we made our way through the halls, Chris hurried over to walk next to Sahar.
"What was in the drink?"
he asked.
"That stuff was great."
His crooked smile, now with strange fangs, made me shake my head and grin from ear to ear. How could I be so in love with such a silly man? If a man was what he really was. His human body had undergone some changes after he was resurrected, and we still did not fully understand his newfound powers as the Light-Bearer. I wondered how they affected him, now that they had fully awakened. His skin had a steady glow, and sometimes it shone brighter when he was happy or excited. When we reached the Great Hall, Adriana, Lauren, and Lorelia, three of Constanta's top gargoyle guards, were there, waiting with a young werewolf. He lowered himself to one knee, showing deep and true respect for my counsel in me. I appreciated the sign, but still felt on edge, wondering what the werewolf queen could want with me and my kingdom. We sat in the same spots we had the night before, when we addressed our people and some of the staff delivered us drinks, goblets of blood for the vampires and glasses of water or juice for the others. "Please," I spoke to the werewolf emissary, "tell me why Sophia, Queen of Nahuatl, has sent you all this way." He stood, still in his wolf form, probably having arrived only minutes ago. He towered over most of the servants, but stood just as tall as my gargoyle guards. Coarse, brown fur covered his body from head to toe, and long, furry ears protruded from his head. His long muzzle held rows of sharp fangs. Although he stood on his back two legs, he could have just as easily been on all four legs, using his powerful appendages to run faster than most two-legged races. Most werewolves could transform their bodies at will, using their wolf form for fighting and fast travel and saving their human forms for more normal occasions. Some werewolves, however, remained trapped in their beast forms, never able to be human again. I shuddered at the thought of being stuck in such a hairy, beastly body.
"Our queen fears the hordes will soon overrun her kingdom."
The werewolf panted, still out of breath from his long journey.
"Get him some water, please,"
Sahar commanded the serving staff, standing ready.
"Thank you, milady,"
the werewolf said as he gave her a slight bow of his head. He licked his pointed jaw.
"What is your kingdom being overrun with?"
Chris chimed in, his voice sounding lordly and truly concerned.
"Zombies, my lord,"
the werewolf replied, grabbing a glass from a servant and then chugging it. The council shared a look, some faces in disbelief at the news, and some of the council had a faint sense of terror in their eyes.
"And that's not all."
the werewolf continued, having finished his water.
Just some weeks ago, there was a horde traveling with skeletons. Skeletons that could wield magic.
Lichlings,
Zaha said, more of a statement to herself than anything.
What are lichlings?
Erwin asked curiously. Skeletons that wield magic? Chris asked in his sarcastic tone. Zaha nodded.
Precisely.
And what would Queen Sophia have me do about it? I asked the werewolf standing before me.
She asks for aid, Your Highness.
The messenger explained.
She wants you and your council to come help. Word has reached us about your victories here, and, well, Nualto could use some victories.
Silence filled the room as we all sat and digested the information this werewolf had brought from the south. It's not like I had assumed all zombies in the world had died, but I had hoped we could experience peace for a little longer. And if lichlings now bolstered the zombie forces, we would certainly be hard-pressed. Fighting against brainless enemies is one thing, but enemies that could use magic... well, that would add a whole new level of difficulty for us. If the South fell, it would only be a matter of time before Constanta had another horde of zombies and lichlings marching toward our walls. Please, you will understand that my council and I must take some time to deliberate. I stood as I addressed the young werewolf. Please make yourself comfortable in the meantime, and we will give you an answer by nightfall. Lauren? I turned to one of the twin gargoyles. Please show our guest to a room where he can rest. The werewolf bowed once more, and I led my council out of the hall and back to the royal chambers. My room looked like one of Sahar's alchemy potions had broken and exploded everywhere. Papers, food, and other random items were strewn about the place after our celebrations last night. I shrugged, making a mental note to clean it all later, and cleared some space on the table. I sat down, like I had so many times in the past few months, with the weight of the world bearing down on my shoulders. Should we once again put our lives at risk, but this time to help another kingdom? I wasn't sure of the right answer, but that's why I had my council. The others took seats around the table, and it was Rachel who spoke first.
Look, Rosmarin, you know what I'm going to say about this.
She tried to keep her voice even, but her emotions boiled out.
I'm sorry, but where was Sophia during the Great Purge, during our time of need? She left us for dead.
Rachel sat back in her chair, arms crossed, brow furrowed.
If I may, my queen.
Onyx asked next, and I nodded for her to continue.
I also do not think it is a good idea to go. Send someone else, if you have to, but our place is here with our people.
I agree with Onyx. In part.
Eri chimed in.
Yes, we still have so much rebuilding to do in Constanta, but I think we should go help the Southern Kingdom.
Rachel and Onyx turned to Eri, surprised this logical fairy would opt to leave Constanta. The three then erupted into a debate about the pros and cons of going, soon resorting to shouts. I sat, listening to three of my closest friends, three people that I cared deeply about. Each had valid points. Rachel did not trust the werewolf queen, considering her to be a traitor to Constanta. Onyx did not want to leave our people to embark on some fool's mission to the south. But Eri, ever the level-headed one, believed helping was the right option.
I also vote yes.
Zaha called out, silencing the women's yelling.
Besides, there is a witch doctor named Katala in Nahuatl, who I've meant to see for some time. And legend has it.
She turned to Chris as she spoke.
There is a djinn sorceress somewhere near the Southern Kingdom, who may be able to help us learn more about Kristoff's powers.
What's a djinn?
Asked Kristoff, scratching his head.
Rachel, the jaded vampire that she was, replied,
Djinn are mischievous little bastards. I wouldn't get entangled with them, but that's just me. Yes, they certainly have a reputation for trickery,
interjected Sahar.
But if you offer them what they want, these spirits will become your most loyal friend. Well, that settles it.
Chris sat up a little straighter in his chair, and I could sense his words before they even came out of his mouth.
I want to go too. Hell, I need all the help I can get. And hey, doesn't a vacation sound nice?
Ever the joker, Chris did manage to lighten the tension in the room, if even a little, but not by much. This was a great decision laid before us, and I believed I knew what the correct decision was. I just wasn't sure if I really wanted to do it. I sat for a minute, pondering my next words. I know Sophia hasn't been there for us in the past. I began to voice my thoughts out loud. Remember that feeling when we realized she wasn't coming? I looked Rachel in her black-lined eyes. She only blinked at me, sitting back in her chair with crossed arms. I never want to feel that again, I said firmly, and I never want my allies to feel that terrible disappointment. Sophia didn't help us, and she should have, but we can make the right decision, even though she did not. That was what I needed to say, more for myself than for the others, even as I directed the words towards Rachel. After a moment of silence passed between the council, I cleared my throat to recapture their attention. Well, shall we take a vote? I knew what my vote would be, but I silently feared the outcome of this decision, knowing it would once again place my loved ones and me in harm's way. Those in favor, raise your hands. Sahar, Chris, Eri, and I all raised our hands. Rachel and Onyx looked at each other and sighed. I guess we're going south. Rachel groaned. The deliberations hadn't taken as long as I had thought they would. Even with all the arguing between Onyx, Eri, and Rachel, we managed to have an answer for the werewolf before the sun even began to sink below the horizon. I still felt unsure about the decision, but when I saw the relief color the werewolf emissary's face, I couldn't help but think we had made the right decision. It's just that sometimes the right decision is also the hard one. We decided that Erwin would travel with the emissary back to Nahuatl to scout around and tell us more about the situation we were walking into. She happily agreed, and I suspected she was ready to stretch her wings again. As much as she enjoyed the festivities and all the time with the council, Erwin loved being out in the open, exploring the continent from the skies and making maps. It was hard to take the wanderlust out of someone. I begged the werewolf to stay the night and leave the following morning, but he argued the importance of returning as soon as possible to give his queen the good news. So we packed him and Eri light bags of provisions, and as night began to close around the castle, the emissary and Erwin, giving us all hugs, left into the night, traveling south. I wonder what we'll find when we get to Nahuatl, I mused as we watched the werewolf and Eri disappear into the darkness. Well, Chris replied, wrapping his muscled arm around my waist. It sounds like a lot of zombies, some of those lichlings, and maybe a djinn sorceress. I responded, lost in my thoughts. Sounds like an adventure to me, Your Highness. Chris kissed my cheek lightly. We said goodnight to Sahar, Rachel, and Onyx and climbed the now dark and empty halls of the castle to our chamber. I began picking up the various items that littered the room, remembering the happy times with my friends, wondering how this journey would affect us all.
Are you all right?
Chris asked. He had been helping me clean up the room, but now he stood looking at me with those hazel, earthen eyes, genuine concern ruffling his brow. I'm fine, I hope we are doing the right thing. Kristoff wrapped me in a tight hug, and I inhaled his cinnamon and rose scent, letting the intoxicating smell calm my nerves. We cleaned a little more, and then as the moon began its climb across the sky, Christoph and I crawled into bed. He wrapped his arms around me, and I felt safe and protected. But as I drifted to sleep, I wondered how long would we get to feel this way?